Let's do that for Jesus. Amen. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. You can be seated. It is a privilege and honor to be here once again with you. We are so thankful for your pastor and his wife, and they are always so generous and kind to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I don't like to be held down. I like to move around. Amen. I'm thankful for this church. Praise God that you have a pastor that fears the Lord and honors him with everything that he does, and his wife with him. They work together. What's been done in Antigua is done because it's not one that puts 1,000, but it's two that put 10,000, and then the multitude that come together to do the work of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God did give me a word this last Saturday and Sunday morning, so it's fresh off the press. Amen? It's only a few days old, but I believe it's a word for you all tonight. Title of my message, and I'm going to show you a little bit of Antigua. Last year, I forgot to bring our thing, so I couldn't show you nothing. This year, I remembered it. Amen. But I'd like to talk to you tonight about looking for eternal life. You guys just baptized 20 people. Three here and 17 at the jail. I don't care where you baptize them. They became a part of the body of Christ. When you're born of water and born of spirit, walls and fences and gates don't have no bearing on none of that stuff. So 20 people were born of the water on Sunday. What an awesome, awesome thing. Amen. That tells me that there are people that are looking for eternal life. Amen. If you can get the DVD up, amen, and we'll show you a little bit of what's been happening in Antigua. Last year, we had 54 filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we had 45 baptized. Our goal was 100, and 5 minutes to midnight, we hit 101, either baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this goal for this year, and please help us pray for it, but it's 2015. So you say, well, man, that's way above. Well, so what? It ain't my deal. It's God's deal. And God can do anything. So we're going to believe God for the best. Amen? If you want to just take a look at that, that's the church building. Amen. And the lady is where the apartments are and other parts of the shed and the shelter pavilion where we have our youth camp and do all the other things. But God blessed us with 2 acres there so we can have church. Amen. And we utilize it all. Amen. Go ahead. Just be ready to pause it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Our goal is to reach all of Antigua. So if you ask how many we're running, 185,000, we just don't have enough in the church yet. We're going to be there one day. Amen. That's just different villages on the island. We'd like to go out as much as possible, almost every Saturday. We go into a new area. Bible studies on the street. We share the word of God. We break the bread of life with them. That's the state college. We have a teacher there. He brings many, many students from the state college to the church. There's a lot of work to do. We can do it.
There's nothing more.
That was our youth camp last year. Our young people appreciate being able to spend time together.
Tabernacle to a place where I can see.
amen, that group of people, the man on the far, amen, my right, Edwin there, he was the beggar man that would kind of walk by the church all the time. He'd have his five-gallon bucket on his head, and he would sell you sugar apples and mangoes and sour sap, and he always gave us a really good price. But for years and years, we've talked to Edwin. Edwin, you need to get in church, man. You need to get your life right with God. And he was always, woe is me, and his clothes were always tattered, and his shoes were just a mess, and he's just like, woe is me. And it's like, come on, Edwin. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And Victoria talked to him one Thursday afternoon, and he said, I'm coming. I'll be there Saturday. I'm going to get baptized. And guess what? He showed up. I, you know how many times he told me he was going to come to church? It's like, yeah, right, Edwin. We'll see if you really come. Guess what? He showed up. Amen. And God changed his life so much just in baptism. He never got the Holy Ghost yet up until that time. He just was baptized. But his neighbor, 2 weeks after he was baptized, came to church on a Sunday morning and said, I don't know what happened to him, but I want to get baptized too because I want what he's got. He didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. He was just baptized. And it made such a difference in Edwin's life that Leroy come. You're going to meet Leroy because Leroy was so excited that morning. I said, just wait till after service. We'll get you baptized. But he came to the front while we're all having prayer before church ever started. Man, God fills him with the Holy Ghost in our prayer meeting. Amen, in the morning. And then he got baptized after that. But anyway, God is doing great things. The next lady over there, Jeanette, her daughter, Victoria, amen, was been coming to church, had the Holy Ghost, got baptized, but she calls us up on a Monday morning, like Wednesday night or Wednesday. Monday morning says, Pastor, could you baptize me? I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. No problem. Come on over. So she came over. We baptized her. The next young man there, Kenroy, he came on a Sunday morning, invited by a young lady. He got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. And the next three, the mother, Dawn, and her daughter and son, while Edwin was being baptized, Benjamin and Eugene were teaching them a Bible study. Well, the whole family came over on a Saturday to be baptized because somebody shared the Word of God with them. And they said, I see it. I see it. And then when Benjamin brought them back from being baptized, her husband showed up at the house, and she's like, you tell him. You tell him. It's because like he's going, where were you guys? I mean, I come back to the house, and you're all gone. And now you come back in this van? And, well, Benjamin taught him a Bible study. He didn't come then, but about 3 weeks ago, the husband came and was baptized. He already had the Holy Ghost, but now we got the whole family coming. Amen. There are people that are looking for salvation. Amen. Looking for eternal life. All right. Thank you. Let the anointing, let it break down. There's Leroy. So I will be forever. He got the Holy Ghost forever. He took every 2-3 weeks. We live on a tourist island. We don't have a tourist island. Our island hurts because that's the only study right there on the street in their home wherever we meet them. There's Edwin getting baptized. He no more got done getting baptized, and Benjamin called up, said, we got a family coming, mom and the two kids, and they came and got baptized. Kadeem got the Holy Ghost in the tank. Amen. It was our Christmas fellowship. We just got together. We had a good time after church. Amen. And just fellowship. Everybody likes to eat, so we all eat.
Your kindness leads me to repentance.
It's just some of the different plants.
And your goodness.
There's our men's fellowship. It don't look big, but it will be. Amen. But we had a good time praying for another and talking with one another. We share things.
Your favorite is my
delight. They don't come to the altar, we go after them. Amen. It's open game.
You know, every day.
And we get the Holy Ghost.
I'll awaken my
breath. And Michael, he came on Tuesday. And two boys brought him and said, this man wants to be baptized. He baptized him and got the Holy Ghost. 2 weeks later, amen. All these people, that's not on a church
you
service.
Are
that's
good.
That young man in the purple that's on the bottom
you
there.
Good.
He was one of our faithful young men, 20 years old. Went to the
forever, you are good.
Amen. He passed away.
You are good.
He's home. Amen. He's in a better
you
place.
Are good.
There's Victoria, her mom.
And your mercy.
Came on Monday to be baptized.
Forever.
He is Peter's. He is a man that has a fishing business over in a neighboring island.
You
amen.
Are
he's working his way trying to get back to Tito. A lot of people. Pastor, let's.
Your kindness leads me to repentance. And your goodness draws me to your side.
Your life. Adam came from Connecticut.
And your mercy, it calls me to be like you. And your favor is my delight.
And thankful for this year. Amen. But you guys make it possible. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. So what does that have doing with looking for eternal life? Well, obviously, all of you that are here tonight have done just that. You have what? Look for eternal life. And the Bible gives us many pictures of people doing the same thing. But the outcomes of all those people are different. We're going to look at a little snapshot of one in the book of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 17. If we could stand and we'll read that. But in the book of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 17, it is a very interesting scripture. It says, and when he was gone forth unto the way, there came one running, not just walking, running, and kneeled to him, Jesus, and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Pastor, would you pray?
Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Your life, you make it alive in us, shapes us, and
And everybody said amen. Here we see a man. This is the story of the rich young ruler. But he came running to Jesus. And the amazing thing is, when he got to Jesus, he was running. He was urgent. This was a need he had in his life. And he came running to Jesus and he knelt down to him. And he said, "Good master, what must I do that I can inherit eternal life?" And then this dialogue started. But understand one thing. Obviously, this man recognized something about Jesus. Because I wouldn't go to you, sis, and say, "You know, my semi, I just blew the motor up, and could you please change the motor for me and fix it?" She got no clue what to do first. You go to somebody that you believe can do what you have asked them to do. So this man believed enough in Jesus to ask him this question: "What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus started to go through basically the Ten Commandments, the law. Don't do this, and don't commit adultery, and don't... And the young man's thinking about what Jesus is saying. He says, "Master, all these things I have done or I have kept from my youth." In other words, he was trying his best to live for God. Because he said, "All these things that you've just told me about, I have done. I have kept them." But there is a real interesting verse 21, as Jesus looks at the man, and it says that what Jesus thought about it. It says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." Jesus told him the truth. Obviously, the law cannot save anyone, because if it would, he would already have eternal life. Because he said, "All these things I have done from my youth." What I read in the scripture is, the law is the schoolmaster to Christ. In other words, the law brings me to the one that wrote it or gave it. But Jesus goes on to say, if you just pull it back up there for me again, he not only loved him, but he told him to do certain things. Amen? He said, "And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me." Take whatever you have, give it to the poor, and then deny yourself. No, you can't go cycling. You know, I know it's the weather's warmed up, but you can't take your cycle out and go cycling, because I'm asking you to come follow me. No, you can't do this, because I'm asking you to come follow me. See, Jesus told him, you need to put everything aside. Pick up your cross and follow me. There can't be anything that separates you from me. Nothing. Pastor talked about what you're hanging on to. You could have eternal life. What you're hanging on to? Amen? So understand, Jesus was trying to say, there can't be anything between our relationship. If you want this eternal life, you must come to me, deny everything, and follow me. Do like I do. It's kind of like Simon said, or follow the leader, right? Well, whatever you do like I do. And it said this man left sad, sorrowing, because he was not willing to do what it took to have eternal life. Because Jesus said, if you want eternal life, this is what you need to do. Almost every Saturday when we go out, we confront people with the truth. You want to make heaven your home? It says, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you understand cannot? It means you ain't getting in except you're born of water and of spirit. Well, how are you born of water? When you go down in a watery grave in the name of Jesus. How are you born of spirit? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. We bring that revelation or that understanding to people, and there are those that you've seen that said, I want what you've showed me, what you have told me. I'm willing on a Saturday afternoon come to the church to get baptized. It's that important. And there are others that say, I don't want what you have. I don't need what you have. But yet we've broke the bread of life with them. But see, there are those that say, I don't want what you have because I'm not willing to pay the price. Oh, you're those Jesus people. You're right. Ain't you? Who died for you? Who was born to save you? Who came to show you the right way? Who died for you, and then who's coming back for you? And you don't want to be a Jesus person? Come on. But time after time, we talk to people. But it says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall. What's reaping? Bringing in something. So we don't get discouraged when they say, I don't want what you have. We just go to the next house. Next. Right? And when you're at the work talking to people and there are those that mock you and laugh at you, and when you have your lunch break and you bow your head and you pray and they're looking at you like, yeah, right, that holier than thou guy. I've had people on the workplace when I used to work construction. I was in concrete. We would be setting up huge, huge pours. So we had all this sand. Guys would literally fall down on the sand and start rolling around, acting like they were a holy roller. And I would start crying because they were mocking God. I could care less what they thought of me. That didn't bother me. They were you don't know what you're doing. But the very same man that would be rolling around in the sand, when all those other guys are there kind of joking and making light of it, all of a sudden, we're driving back to the home base, and he's in the truck with me. Then he starts crying. He goes, I don't know what it is about you or what you got. I can't do that, but I feel something. The rich young ruler, I want what you got, but I don't think I can do that. But God never asks any of us to do anything that He will not help us do. Never. 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 So, talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, in John chapter 5 and verse 39, it says, search the scriptures, for in them you what? You think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And then look what verse 40 says. Amen. 39 and 40. I'll tell you ahead of time. Give you time to get it up. Verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have. How do you come to Jesus? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. He wasn't talking, church, about the New Testament. It wasn't written. He said, I want you to go to Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so on and so on. There's where you're going to find me. And who was speaking? Jesus. Jesus said, you want to see who I am? Just go back a ways. Not only did he say it there, but in John chapter 6, in verse 28 and 29, he gives us another snapshot of knowing him. In John 6 and 28, he tells us, sorry, I don't have these memorized because I just got it on Saturday, so I'm working at it. Amen. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's the question. But what's the answer? Glad you asked. It's verse 29. That's what's so neat about the Bible. If you don't know what it's saying, just keep reading. It'll tell you. It explains itself. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him, Jesus, whom he hath sent. You want to work the works of God? You got to believe on Jesus. No other name, no other man. It's all in him. It's all about Jesus. That's why Jesus said in John 8 and 24, it says, if you don't believe that I am, and the he is added, it says, you shall die in your sins. In other words, if you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. When Moses said, who said, or what should I say that sent me? Who sent me? He said, I am that I am. And Jesus points himself back to the I am. Without the revelation and understanding of who Jesus Christ is, they cannot be saved. Because they will not be baptized in his name without the revelation, without the understanding. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's all in the name. There are people in your neighborhoods, in your workplace, in your families that are looking for eternal life. You might have already told them what it takes. And they're like the rich young ruler. They walk away, I can't do that. But there are those that are going to say, whatever it is, the three people that were just baptized on Sunday, Pastor, take me to the water. I want to go to the water. I want to be born of water. I want to be born of spirit. Sometimes we can get discouraged, but understand this. The harvest is plenteous. Jesus told us that. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth what? Why don't you change that word to me? Send me into the harvest. Everybody, Pastor, I'm praying for you. You know the word of God. You're just such an awesome speaker. I know that you can do it. So I'm going to pray for you. I think the Lord meant when he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth labors. He was, you know, like in the book of Isaiah where Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. It's easy to pray for somebody else to go. But most people don't want to witness or testify of what God has done for them is because they're afraid of rejection or they're afraid of being laughed at or mocked at. But how is it, sis, when you can go up to your coworker and say, you know what? We just had a man baptized in the prison. And when he was baptized, when he come up out of the water, God healed his body. And they go, really? And he go, yeah. And I've noticed that you've been limping when you're walking. Would you let me pray for you that God would heal you? See, our son Benjamin, this is in, not Antigua, this is in Des Moines, Iowa, a couple years ago. As him and just another young man were walking through the park on a Saturday morning doing outreach, this man come limping through the park. And Benjamin looks at him and goes, what happened to you, man? What's the matter? Well, he said, I come riding my bike down a hill and this car ran a red light and bam, I smashed into the side of the car, busted up my knees, and I said, this is all the doctors can do. Well, that's all they can do. And I thank God for doctors, but they ain't no doctor like Jesus. Amen. So Benjamin just said, well, my God's able. Do you mind if we pray for you? And he said, well, I got nothing to lose. Pray, man, pray. So they prayed for him. Guess what? The guy took off running in the park. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. In Des Moines, Iowa, not in Antigua. I was just down in Texas driving my parents home. And my dad has sugar diabetes, so he went to the therapist to get all stretched out there, bending your legs and twisting you this way and that way. So I went with him while the therapist guy was pushing him and squishing him around. And while he was doing all that, I was just teaching our Bible study that we do on the street. And he said, I go to this non-denominational church, and for 3 years, I've wanted the Holy Ghost, but I just can't get it. And when he got done bending Grandpa all around, they went out into the waiting room, and I just said, so, Pablo, you want the Holy Ghost? He says, yeah. I said, that's no problem. Let's pray for it right now. It's okay. I said, let's repent of your sins, and I'll repent with you. And when you get done, I want you to just lift your hands, begin to worship God. So in a matter of minutes, Pablo, speaking in tongues, who's wanted the Holy Ghost for 3 years. This is in Donna, Texas. We cannot be afraid to tell people Jesus what? Loved him? Loved him enough to tell them the truth. Do you love those people out there enough to tell them the truth? We always want to be so worried about offending them. I don't know about you, but the gospel is offensive. It is. But it's the truth. I can tell you all kinds of stories what Jesus did. And you wonder, why? How could anybody? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you ain't got no life in you and you don't got no part of me. That's what Jesus told his own disciples. And it says his own disciples from that time on stopped following him. And then he turned to his 12 closest disciples and say, well, if you want to go, there's the door. It's open. And Peter goes, well, where are we going to go? You're the only ones with the words of life. How to win friends and influence people? That was a pretty rough saying. But Jesus was just telling them the truth. See, they couldn't comprehend it because it was a revelation. He wasn't talking about his literal body. He was talking about the word of God. If you can't digest it and live it and do it, you got no life in you. You got no part of me. Amen. So going on in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 1, Jesus is going to Jericho. This is a week or thereabouts before the cross. Or 2 weeks before the cross, he had his week in Jerusalem, okay? So this is about 2 weeks before the cross, okay? And look what it says. And Jesus entered and passed what? Through Jericho. I don't know why it says that, but think about it. He entered Jericho, but then it said he passed through it. Maybe Jericho had a roundabout. You know, you just go around it so you don't have to go through town. Think, because look, it said Jesus entered. But then it says, and pass through it. Nobody wants to go through downtown. Everybody wants to go around it. But Jesus had a reason for going through town. Because in the midst of town, he found this little man called Zacchaeus. And in verse 10, it tells us, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But if Jesus wouldn't have made that trip through Jericho and went through Jericho, Zacchaeus would never have a chance to meet the master because he was headed for Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem we know what happened. You're going to be doing it this Sunday, celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But Jesus made a point to get through Jericho because he was seeking. See, this is awesome because the rich young ruler was what? Seeking Jesus for eternal life. Like we should be doing. But not only do we seek Jesus, Jesus is seeking us so he can give us eternal life. Right? Isn't that what the scripture just told us? That he is seeking to save that which was lost? And then verse 9 gives us a little snapshot of that the sons of Abraham can be saved because he was a son of Abraham. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And we're the children of Abraham. True. Okay. Now, think about this. Remember the rich young ruler when Jesus told the rich young ruler, I want you to go and sell all that you have. Give it what? To the poor. And then pick up your cross and follow me. But in verse number 8, Zacchaeus makes a declaration to Jesus Christ. A half of my goods, I'm going to give it to the poor. And if I have ripped anybody off, you know. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, a half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. In other words, when you were paying your taxes and Zacchaeus said, no, it ain't 50 bucks, it's 100. Pay up or we're going to take you to jail. You had to pay up because he was the man in control. He was the chief publican, and it said he was very rich. Like the rich young ruler, he prided in what he had. Zacchaeus liked his riches, but he wasn't going to allow his riches this time to stop him from what he really wanted, and that was eternal life. So before Jesus ever said a thing to him, now you got to understand something. This is Luke 19. I don't know if it's all written time-wise, but if you go back to Luke 18, you read the story of the rich young ruler. So I don't know if Zacchaeus heard about the rich young ruler that Jesus told him, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and then come follow me. I don't know if he heard that or not, but before Jesus said anything to him, he gave half of his goods away. Now listen, if he got his wealth from ripping people off, right? And now I'm going to give you back four times what I ripped off from you. I ripped you off 50 bucks, but now I'm going to give you 200 back because I'm giving you fourfold. This man could be a very wealthy man in the morning, and by that afternoon, he was broke financially, but not spiritually, because today salvation has come to this house. Two men, both rich. One walked away sad. The other one walked away glad. See, there's all kinds of people in this world, and they will respond one of two ways. Like the first one in Mark, or like this one in Luke. And I believe everyone that's here tonight is a Luke, because you're here. Because if you were the Mark, you would be out there. And guess what? The guy's riches didn't make him happy. That's why he was looking for eternal life. So that tells me his riches didn't make him happy. So he's going to Jesus saying, I want eternal life. But when he found out what he had to do, he was willing to hang on to that stuff that can't do anything for you truly. Oh, it makes life easier in some situations, but truly, it doesn't satisfy this boy here. What satisfies us is being right with God, being in communion with God, knowing that I can be all banged up, bust up. You don't know how many times we have prayed as a family, and I mean, I drove a pitchfork through this foot, God healed it. Our son he was all messed up, man, blew up eggs in his face with hot water, skin peeled right off his face. Within a week, you couldn't even hardly tell it happened. And he never went to a doctor. See, why does Jesus got to be your last choice? Oh, we got to run to the doctor. We got to call a doctor. Why don't you just call on Jesus? Amen. Now, I'm not saying don't use a doctor, but you could call on Jesus first. Amen. We do. We call on Jesus first. The doctor, he's our last last choice. And not that there's nothing wrong with the doctor. story, true story of a young man. He was playing some kind of soccer or ball or something, whatever, but broke his leg, bone hanging out the side. Oh, he was messed up bad. They took him to the doctor, that they put the cast on it, got him all fixed up, and he went home that afternoon, and while he was sitting there, God smote him and said, "Don't you trust me?" This young man, this is a true story, he repented. He said, "Lord, I am sorry. I should have trusted you. I should have asked you." I mean, you got to understand, the bone was hanging out. It is not nice. And he said, "You're right, Lord. I don't need this." Well, because it's still soft, because they just put the cast on, the cast come way up here, man. He took the scissors and he cut that puppy off, and his family's going nuts. Like, "What are you, stupid? You know, the bone's hanging. I mean, you got a broken leg." He said, "God can take care of me." We said, "Well, we got to take you back to the hospital," because they're thinking, "We got to get the guy back to the hospital so they can put another cast on his leg." So when they got to the hospital, guess what they did? Took another x-ray of his leg. Something ain't right here. You better take another x-ray. You know, ain't no crack, ain't no fracture. I don't know what happened, but, well, ain't you the guy that just put the cast on here? See? Where's our faith, really? There are people that are looking for truth, and we can't be weary in well-doing, church. We have to be able to share this gospel everywhere, anytime, any place. Amen? That's how the people are coming into the church in Antigua. You can hand out 100 flyers, man. You might get one person. But it's one-on-one, just talking to people, not being afraid to tell them what they need to do to be saved. See, if you don't tell them what they need to do, who's going to? So then, you know, you're just going to pat them on the back. "Oh, Lord bless you. I hope to see you around." You know where they're headed. If you really believe the Bible, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What do you expect for those people that aren't born again? Where are they headed? Come on. Right. Hell's only temporary place, man. It's going to give up its dead one day, and it's going to get chucked in the lake of fire. That's eternal judgment. But you got to be born again. So all these people that are wandering around out there looking for something, they're looking for what you got. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for what you already have. Freely you've received, freely give. One last little story, and I'll be quiet. John chapter 4. In verses 3 and 4. This is so neat. Remember how Jesus seeks for people? Where I seek to save the Son of Man. Or the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Here he makes a statement. You know how he went through Jericho? Well, Jesus said, after he left Galilee, or Judea, to go to Galilee. It says, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And verse 4 tells us. And he must needs go through Samaria. You got Judea down here, Galilee up here, Samaria kind of in the middle. But the Jews don't like the Samaritans. Come on. So they would go along the River Jordan to bypass Samaria so they didn't have to deal with them. Because in this story, there was a woman that came to a well that Jesus was already hanging out at. Oh, yeah, right there. "Yeah, I'm thirsty. Thank you, bro." Amen. Here, just take that off there. Amen. "I'm thirsty. Could you give me a drink of water?" And while Jesus was sitting at the well, the woman comes up, and he goes, "Could I have a drink of water?" And she looks at him and says, "How are you a Jew? Ask me a Samaritan for a drink of water. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you doing this?" Verse 10 is a good verse. Bring verse 10 up first. That's a really neat verse in this whole snapshot of what happens. But Jesus tells this lady, he says, "Listen, ma'am." He goes, "Where's your husband?" And she goes, "I have none." Well, then he says, "You've answered correctly. Because you've had five husbands already, and the guy you're living with ain't your husband. That's how to win friends, right? You're shacked up with somebody. Uh-huh. But in verse 10 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and would have, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Or we could say eternal life. Amen. Then go to the next verse in 25. And she's looking for something. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. What were they looking for? Jesus? She said, we're looking for Messiah, and when he gets here, he's going to tell us everything. We're looking for him, even though we're Samaritans, we're looking for the Christ, the anointed one, the Almighty. And Jesus made revelation of who he was to about a handful of people. Everybody that's recorded in the Bible, you can put it on one hand, of who he said that he really was. And in verse 26, he tells this Samaritan woman, Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. And I have come here to give you living water. I have come to give you eternal life. So then just go to John 14 and 12 and then that's it. Okay? This is the greatest promise God gave the church. Because he went away. He had to place this power, this teaching, this revelation, this understanding into the hands of the believers, his church. He tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, say me. He's talking to us. He that believeth on me, Jesus, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, or I go unto the Spirit. Jesus said, you're going to do greater things if you'll believe in him. He will give you the power that he had and even greater. Can anybody show me scripture and verse where Jesus healed anybody by walking by them and his shadow fell on them? But can you show me where Peter walked by somebody? Greater things than these shall you do? God wants to use all of you, including me, to accomplish his work on this earth right now. We're living in the last days. I believe that, church. And you're going to see signs, wonders. If you'll believe it, you're going to see it. You will. But you got to go forth. You got to go forth. Take the word of God that you have. Teach Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. Get the people rooted and grounded. You know, the Bible says if you don't have babies, if you're not producing fruit, the master of the vineyard, who is going to cut you down, and then they're going to pick you up and cast you into the... But I come to church. I was born again. I was baptized. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay. Any farmers in here? Boy, this is a city church. Man, well, let me tell you. If you were a farmer and you had a cow that wouldn't have a calf, it wouldn't stay in the barn long. When the truck came, it'd be the first one on the truck. Okay? Think about this. If you're in the church and you ain't producing nothing, and I got scripture for this, because when the tree ain't producing, the pastor says, let me dig around this tree and fertilize it a little, teach it another Bible study, give it another chance, and then if it don't produce nothing, Lord, then you get to cut it down, not the pastor. The Lord's going to cut it down and he's going to remove it. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be cut down and chucked into the fire. So we have to be productive. We have to be. That's why he created us, to love him, to honor him, and to love others like he has loved us, that they might have what we have. Amen? You guys got an awesome pastor and pastor's wife that are leading you. I haven't said nothing new to you tonight, but hopefully I have encouraged you to take what God has given you and give it away. Share it with those you know and share it with those you don't know. Almost everybody we meet on the street is a first-time deal. We've never met them from nowhere. When I was down in Texas, I needed my teeth fixed, so I went into Mexico. Well, it's hard to talk to the dentist because your mouth, they're grinding away in there and doing all their stuff. But when they're not doing that, you can talk to them. And there was this nice dentist that was a good Catholic. And I said, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. And I said, would you like the Holy Ghost? She goes, I want the Holy Ghost. And I explained what would happen. I know this Catholic lady has never raised her hands in her life. Because when we kind of got done repenting, I kind of had to help her. Just lift your hands. Just begin to worship God. And then I knew she never prayed out loud because she was like so quiet. I said, just open your mouth and give him thanks and praise, please. Just and she did, and she was kind of getting it. If she would have just got with it a little more, it would have been changed. But when we got done praying, and I still got her email stuff, I'm going to be sending her some Bible studies. But she goes, I felt something. It's like, I don't know what it was, but I felt something. And sometimes we just try too hard to get the Holy Ghost. We was just up at Brother Endres. He had this little 11-year-old boy or 12-year-old boy. Man, he's been seeking the Holy Ghost for a year, year and a half, whatever it was. And he come up there after service. He goes, I want the Holy Ghost, Brother Smith. I said, that's easy. We're just going to repent one more time of your sins, and we're going to just do like we always do and just worship God. And, man, he was so close. He was just trying. He must have prayed for a good 20 minutes or more. And he just shut down. It's like, this ain't working. And we just said, if you'll just relax, stop trying so hard. God, you're right there. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. You know what he said? He goes, I don't know how to speak in tongues. It's like, yeah, you don't know how to speak in tongues, but you are speaking in tongues. We don't know how to speak in tongues, but God is the one that fills us. Amen. And it's so neat to see people all over the place get filled with the Holy Ghost, man. And it's a blessing to be here with you tonight. If anybody needs the Holy Ghost, anybody here need the Holy Ghost? I mean, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is there anybody? Because if there is, we want to pray with you. Okay. Well, if there isn't, I can't, you know, pray for you because, but anybody need healing? Okay, we want you to come. We're going to pray for your healing. Who wants to be a witness and a light? Who wants to do like Zacchaeus did? Get rid of this stuff that we have so we can go and do the will of God. A lot of us are so busy doing stuff, we ain't got no time to do what God wants us to do. Amen? But we can take advantage of everything, anytime, any place. You don't have to just bring them to church to get them prayed through. Pray them through right there. God gave you the Holy Ghost, and he wants you to use it. But if you need healing, come. Because God's going to heal you. And if you want to do what God wants you to do, I want you to come. If you want to be used by God, I want you to come. You think this old boy never gets nervous when I go out on witnessing? Man, there's this like kind of like a fear in anybody when you go out. But all you got to do is talk to that first person. And it's like, yes, sick them, Jesus. It is. And you get this holy boldness. But that first person, because you don't know what's going to happen. Lord Jesus, you know everyone that needs healing here tonight. We don't need to point them out. You know who they are. And you know all these that are here tonight that want to be used by you. They want to be used by you mightily, Lord God. They want to be a witness. They want to be able to pray through to people on the street, at their workplace, in their homes, in the stores. Lord God, this is nothing hard for your church. You have promised us. It's a promise. Greater things than these shall we do because we believe in you. Lord God, you are able to raise up each and every person, young and old alike. Age has nothing to do with it. It's how we believe God is willing to use us. And if we will submit ourselves to the things of God, if we will just humble ourselves, pick up our cross and say, Lord, here am I today. Use me. I want to be used by you today. Touch my coworker. Touch my neighbor. Touch my family, Lord. Touch the person I don't even know. As I'm walking down the street and I run into somebody, let your holy boldness just allow me to share the word of God with them, to speak the word of truth to them, to let them know they must be born again, born of water, born of spirit. I want to be an encourager, Lord. I want to take that which you have given to me and hand it out. Give it to whosoever will. Lord, there are so many people that are looking for eternal life tonight. Lord, some even in this house, Lord God, that they're not satisfied with what the world has to offer, but you have life in that more abundantly, Lord. You have given us your spirit so we can live a victorious life. We don't have to lean upon our own understanding. We don't have to trust in what we can do, but we know that you are able to do all things, Lord God, and we thank you tonight. I thank you for Pastor and his wife, and I just pray tonight that you just raise up, Lord God, Sister Schumacher, Lord, that you take any infection or infirmity from her body, Lord, as we call upon you. Lord, we thank you right now for healing her body, Lord God, for everyone that is up here that needs a touch in their body, as you minister unto them, Lord God. We pray for all those that want to be used by you. Give them a holy boldness like never before, Lord, to speak your word in love and in truth. Lord God, I thank you right now. I thank you for every person here. Lord, bless them. Keep your hand upon them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
My Jesus.